Hey, Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family. Welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela today. Have you ever had a relationship and you realized, oh my gosh, this person's a complete psychopath? And then you go back to the first time you met them and you're scouring your first impressions for the red flags? Yeah, me too. Today we are talking about first impression red flags for empath auras. What are the signs they are giving you in the first 15 minutes of meeting you that means you should cut and run now? And this is specifically designed for us empath auras because we feel other people's thoughts, feelings, judgments, emotions as our own. And it is really hard to find a bad egg for us. It's hard. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. Well, first of all, it's good to be back this week.
Yes.
I was not here last week, and I, you know what? A lot of people told me. They were worried about me.
They were. You were like, Megan, they care. They care.
I mean, usually I get like 2-3 DMs per week.
Yeah.
This week I got at least 5 or 6.
Wow.
Yeah, and everyone was like, where were you? Yeah. Are you okay?
Right.
Are you doing all right? And, you know, I had to go somewhere. I'll say in a minute where I went.
But, did you go?
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But it really, I did feel love that people cared enough that I was not on the episode.
Oh, it meant a lot to him.
Yeah. So it did mean a lot to me. But
yeah,
so I'm fine. I'm totally fine. So actually, where was I? I went to Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's where you went? Okay.
Yeah. And I went to a pod. Yeah, it's like a pod.
All right.
Yeah, it's like a weird room, mm-hmm. and there's this wall that's up, and then there's like another room on the other side of the wall.
Got it.
And, you know, I had a nice blanket. They gave me this like gold cup.
Wow.
A nice
fancy.
It was very nice. They fed me in there. Sometimes I'd eat.
Okay.
And then someone else was on the other side of the wall.
Oh.
Yeah. And we got to talking.
Yeah.
Very lovely person.
Oh.
We shared a lot of intimate details of our lives together.
Weird.
Yeah, I didn't know what the person looked like. And
okay.
So I said, you know, could you tell me like, hey, what celebrity do you look like? I'd like to know. And he said Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
So I got, you know, naturally I got excited. You know, I was like, wow. And then they brought in like some other people.
Right.
That didn't look like Keanu Reeves. And I didn't want to be with
you. You're like, I'm going to believe you that you look like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, I wanted to be with the Keanu Reeves lookalike.
Yes, yes.
And then basically at the end of the process, we got out of these pods and we went up, we got this big hallway.
Yeah.
And I stood there and then this, you know, person that I guess looked like Keanu Reeves, like kind of ran at me really awkwardly. Like stumbling.
Oh my
like
God.
Just kind of just jumped on me. It was like really weird.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's
then.
Aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know.
You're nice. Going to go with it. You're going to
nice
go with
person.
It.
And
okay.
Then, and then they said this like this dystopian housing project that just looks something out of a horror movie.
Oh.
And we went into this whole, like, you know, townhouse. And
right.
There was like nothing. It was like perfectly clean. Like you'd never seen anything so clean.
It was like a staged home.
Yeah, staged home. Nothing. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have anything in our fridge. Mm-hmm. No personal like memorabilia. Anything like that.
Right. Right. Sounds normal.
Yeah, and then we'd just like fight about nonsense.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd like fight.
That's where you were.
That's where I was.
How'd it turn out?
Not well. Not well. Because, you know, I went to a party on a lake.
Okay.
And there was the
wow,
other,
you're just still going with
the
this.
Other guys, the other guys that came into those pods.
Yes.
I kind of like them better.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like did them. One actually look like Keanu Reeves instead
one,
of the one you chose?
One looked like a Keanu Reeves meets Kim Kardashian.
Nice.
Yeah. Like a, and Jenner. And Jenner.
It's hard to picture that, but okay.
You don't want to. You don't want to.
Yeah. Anyway. So Scott watched 2 episodes of Love is Blind. This is how I live now.
Okay.
But what we're going to do is I'm going to get right into the empath aura red flags. And then we're going to talk about your red flags because the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family really showed up with their awesome insight about what to look for. And then we're going to deep dive into Love is Blind. Anytime I take a shower, when I'm done, I have to full body moisturize. That is the self-care routine that is most consistent with me and very, very important. And with Osea, it's easy to do. You know, with Osea, I don't have to choose between my values and my best skin. Their skincare is clean, it's vegan, it's cruelty-free, and it's climate neutral certified. And Osea has made this clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. I love the Mega Moisture Duo. Do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor and get this and stick it in your bathroom. When you get out of the shower, you can be like me. I put it all over with the Andaria Algae Body Oil and then the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. It makes my skin look visibly firmer. It delivers a full body glow. You know, any sort of creepiness or dry skin, it just bounces. It's like my skin drinks it. It's at this point my body's like, obviously we're getting our dose of daily Mega Moisture Duo because I'm that consistent with it and I can't imagine living without it. And here's the deal. You can glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code KYA at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code KYA for 10% off. What are first impression red flags for us empath auras? You know, when you meet somebody and the relationship moves forward and you look back and you're like, what was the thing? What did I miss? What did they lie to me about? What didn't I see? We're going to talk about that today in ways that you can pick up the first time you meet somebody. Let's back it up a little bit. Empath auras. That's what I call turquoises, blues, purples, and indigo, which every single one of you listening has at least one of those colors. Maybe you have two of them. But if you were raised in a certain way or programmed or you just lead with that empath aura color, it's very easy for your empath aura to trip you up. Why? If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you already know why. It's because you have the ability to pick up other people's feelings, thoughts, emotions, needs, wounds as your own. And without awareness, you can find self-esteem, you can find support, you can find safety. You can just find it for some reason to be something you like to do to fix it for people. So when you feel someone's innermost issue, what happens is if you don't know any better, you can go in and you can become the thing they need you to be. So if somebody needs to feel better about themselves and they need to do that by making other people feel little, you can become that for them. It's a very vulnerable thing. And if this is something that you're not familiar with or you haven't been listening to, go check out episode 110, the Empath Starter Pack, because that will explain all of the basics in a very succinct way. But we're jumping past that because that's stuff you got to know to understand this. Because that's the thing. I mean, you're not stupid and you're not foolish. And when you're an empath aura and you have been programmed to feel responsible for the thoughts, feelings, emotions, judgments, wounds in other people without realizing it, what happens is you get sought out. So it's not your fault if you have been targeted by toxic, narcissistic, just people who are energetically irresponsible. It's not your fault. You are a beautiful, shiny, loving energy. And those types of people look to you for nutrition. Toxic people eat empath energy, okay? And we're not here to diagnose people, but these could be for a myriad of reasons. For whatever the reason is, whether they intentionally mean to eat your energy or unintentionally so, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, if you're drained, if you're being used, if your energy is being basically just sucked on by toxic people and you're not getting anything back from it, that's a problem. And so I wanted to do an episode on empath aura red flags that we can actually see and latch onto in our first impressions. Because We've all been there. I've been there. And I'll tell you, I'm right with you. Just because I talk about this stuff doesn't mean I even know it better than you guys, because I have learned this the hard way, just like you've all learned it the hard way. I'm still learning. And so the things that I'm taking today are really specific, nuanced little red flags and first impressions that I feel like other people don't talk about, that we can be like, oh my gosh, that is a tell. That is a thing. And that is something you can pick out in the first meeting. And I'm gonna do those. But I want to tell you something about these toxic people, these narcissistic people, these people that want to eat your energy. They're better at it than you are. Okay. And that's okay. So you got to remember that these people fool you and they're good at it. So if you've gotten fooled, don't own their negative actions on you and call it shame. Don't be ashamed that you've been fooled before. I've been fooled before. All right. Don't be ashamed, because shame is our way of holding what somebody else did to us inside of us. So we don't have shame anymore. We say, okay, I got it. They're better at this than I am. If somebody plays Major League Baseball, they're better at baseball than like I am. And that's okay, because they practice it every day. And this is their life and their passion and their career. And they just go to training all the time. Well, that's these toxic people. All right. They practice this all day. Like, their life mission is to fool people into thinking they're who they need other people to think they are. And they're so flipping good at it because they spend a lot of time on it. You don't spend time on that. And thank God you don't, because how sad it is that they spend time on convincing people that they're good enough to take an emotional investment in, convincing people that they give anything back in a relationship. You are their prey and they are the predator. They want to eat your energy. You are their nutrition. They have come up with lots of ways to hunt down your energy, and man, they're good at it. So if we're talking about people in love, you know, dating, we're talking about business, we're talking about friendships, we're talking about whatever the relationship is, when you first meet somebody and you didn't know right away that they turned out to be the worst person ever who did so much to you, please don't feel bad about it. Learn from it, like we're going to do, and use it to help other people. And the red flags I'm talking about today aren't, oh, they wore a certain style shirt, you know, or they wore a hat, or they drove this car, they do this job. Because honestly, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about things that are energy-based. So these people, they want to get to see if you are going to be a good victim to them. So they want to see if you submit to them. They want to see if you're eager to please. They want to see if they want to poke and prod and see where your insecurities are. They want to see where your vulnerabilities are. They want to see where they can get you, your weaknesses. All right. So this is more of an energy thing. And the people I'm talking about today, the red flags have to do with how they get you to feel. So you are always going to find the red flags, honestly, in how you feel around them. So we never can disregard how we feel. How we feel is the most important thing, because as an empath aura, a lot of times you put your own feelings as secondary to everyone else's feelings around you, and you're real good at that. So they count on that as the number one way they're going to start getting you. And the other thing I wanted to say about these people is that they spend all their energy on this. Like, the amount of energy these types of people that we're going to be talking about today have, they have an endless supply of energy towards fooling people, lying, creating drama and nonsense, wasting your time, sucking your energy, creating empath traps, which are places where they feel they can make you feel like you're helping them when actually you're just pouring your energy into the bottomless pit that is them. So this is 24/7. I'm just trying to say that these people are dedicated to doing this to you. So I don't want you to ever feel dumb or silly or foolish that you got fooled in the past, ever, because we all have. And honestly, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again, but you're going to stop it quicker. You're going to stop it a lot sooner than you did in the past. And you're not going to feel bad about it like you may have in the past. You'll be like, oops, okay, cool. Because sometimes what we do is when we meet these people and then we form the relationship anyways with them, and then we're down the line, we're like, you know, subconsciously you're like, you know, I've spent this much time in the relationship. I should just see it to the end. Maybe it'll change. That's going to end for you too. You're going to be like, oop, okay, all right. I'm going to cut ties now because I see what's happening here. So I just want to make a couple of those things clear. So when we get back, we're going to go through some of these red flags we can see in immediate first impressions with people. I'm not going to cancel a subscription on my own. Okay. I'm just going to sit there and keep paying for it. It's awful. I'll just procrastinate. Thank you, Rocket Money, because I don't have to do that anymore. I've been trying to save money for a while, but it seemed like my bank account was stuck. Thankfully, I heard about Rocket Money and I gave it a try. Turns out I did have a bunch of subscriptions I was paying for that I had forgotten about or just ignored. Rocket Money helped me cancel some of them, and now I'm finally starting to see that account balance go up. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/KYA. That's rocketmoney.com/KYA. rocketmoney.com/KYA. So I picked red flags that I feel like are really, like, even though I really had to sit down and think about it. And also from all the readings I do with people, you'll give me, quite frankly, like a lot of X's. And then it's funny, like I'll read them and then I'll get kind of like, oh, this was their angle with you. Oh my God, this was their angle with you. Or this was their angle with you. I get their angles, and their angles are like, the points of entry that they use to get you are actually really helpful to tell everybody about. So that's what I'm using today too. And then obviously in my own life, things that have fooled me, I'm like, oh my gosh. Because, you know, just to clarify, a lot of these people are two people inside of themselves. We'll just call them toxic people for today. So a lot of these toxic people that we're trying to avoid, they are a wounded, sad creature inside. Like their little inner child is locked away and stuck. And you're an empath, so you feel that, right? You feel the real them. Like there's a human in there. Like nobody's born toxic, all right? So there's like a little sweet soul in there, like, help me, you know, and you feel it. You're like, oh my God, oh my God. So there's that side of them and you feel it and it's in there and that's real. But then there's their ego, like the shell, the thing that's, you know, entrapping them, like the ogre that is in front of this poor inner child locked away person inside of them. There's this awful thing you have to deal with. And a lot of us, empath auras, can ignore the ogre and only pay attention to the little sad inner child. So that is hard. So you're never like, so you probably are having more of a relationship with the inner child them, and they might even let you see the inner child them just a little bit, just to get like, just to hook you, you know, just to hook you. And you're like, oh, and then they go back to ogre. So you're dealing with two people when you're dealing with toxic people. But again, and that's why it's so hard, because you feel bad for them. And then like when you dump them or cut ties with them or whatever, you sense that inner child, like, a sense of abandonment within them. But, you know, you, at the end of the day, a big thing with your spiritual journey, and this isn't mean, this is just true, you have to put your own soul growth before the abuse somebody else needs you to go through to have a relationship with them. Because you aren't here to belittle yourself for someone else's issues they're not going to get over on their own accord. If somebody wanted you to help them and they were actually getting better, that's different. If somebody just wants to keep putting you down and keeping everything the same, that's separate. So anyhow, I'm talking about toxic people today. And also, again, why it's so hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. All right. So first impressions, before you even get so deep in and that all starts where you're like, oh my God, I feel bad, you know, and all that. Let's talk about like the first date or the first meeting with somebody. First thing is moral grandstanding. Oh yeah. Okay. If they're all of a sudden like, oh my God, you know, they go on some sort of moral grandstand, like I hate liars. Liars are the worst. People that lie, like they just start pontificating about something like that, a moral approach on something, or I can't stand lazy people. Lazy people are the worst. I don't understand why this whole country is so lazy. I'm not lazy. I was taught da 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 da. All right. Or let's say like they just judge people. Maybe you're going out to eat. It's your first date. Look at those parents with the kids on the iPad. What lazy parents. My kids won't be on iPads. I'll tell you that. Why? Like they start judging other people in front of you. Basically, they have some sort of vibe where they're saying, I'm superior and I'm not this social issue that's going on. Normal people, okay, don't have to emphasize that they're normal. Like, think about it. Do you ever go on and on and on, especially when you first meet someone about some on a moral high ground issue? Do you ever do that? Narcissists and like toxic people and like psychopaths, they like virtue signal about having high moral values and integrity that they themselves don't possess, but they sell it like they do the most. And they'll attack the character of others, claim they would never partake in immoral actions. They just get really into social laurels. Normal people don't do that. And then they can even be have some sort of victimization story attached to it. Like, my parents were lazy and I'm not. Or my ex, you know, she's lazy. You should see what she does with my kids. She's so lazy, like that. And then they put you in sort of a, oh gosh, I don't want to be judged by this person. So I'm not a liar either, or I would never cheat, or I'm not lazy. I get up at 8 a.m. every day. I make the bed, you know. So if you start feeling defensive around somebody of your own morality because they just went on some sort of soapbox about it, red freaking flag. And I'm talking about first meeting with somebody, first impression. Okay, here's another one. This is hysterical. I heard this term. It's called don't let somebody put you in your raccoon era. Maybe some of you know that, but I heard it. Raccoon era means when you're fighting over trash. Okay, so this is another first impression thing to watch out for. If you feel like somebody's trying to put you in your raccoon era. All right, so basically that's when you meet somebody, and this is going to be, maybe it could be with a new friend or somebody who you're dating, and they start talking about an ex, or if it's a friend, like an ex-friend, in a way where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that to you. What a jerk. So they're telling, and again, first time you're talking to them, all right, where they're saying, oh, my ex did this to me and this to me and this to me and this to me and this to me, or I had an ex-best friend and then she went to this party and she didn't invite me, and then I know she was going to all sorts of parties and she never invited me, and you know, and you are only hearing their side of it, and it's told to you in a way where you're like, oh my God, like the narrative is very one-sided. It's all, and also the way they tell the stories, it's like they know the truth. So there's two ways to tell a story. You can be like, well, I wasn't quite sure what was happening because I was getting left out of things, and then I felt really left out. You know, there's that way to say it, or they were leaving me out. They weren't telling me. Like, all, see the difference? In one side of it, it's like, I'm just telling you what happened and how I felt. But then on the narcissist side, or, you know, the toxic person side, it's like, and I was being left out and they were being secretive. And I was, so there. So they get you again to a place of feeling defensive when you're listening to this, like, oh my God, I would always text you back. Oh my gosh, that's awful. I'm not the type of friend that does that. I'm not the type of girlfriend that would do that. I wouldn't be that way with your kids. That's horrific. Oh my gosh, she puts your kids in, you know, pants for the school picture. That's awful. You know, so, and that, I took that from an actual example that I was talking to somebody about, by the way, but yeah. they get you to feel defensive, and then they put you in your raccoon era where you're fighting with this hypothetical other raccoon over trash, which is the toxic person. I just thought that was so funny and also so true. That's what they do. All right. Another thing is the future faking. We've talked about this a little bit before. future faking. So on Love is Blind, I was watching and it was like Jeremy was talking in the pods to Laura. And basically she was like, well, what would a Christmas look like for you? And he went through some sort of crazy Hallmark movie scene. It was, and we're going to have hot cocoa, and we're going to have mimosas, we're going to fall in love, we're going to watch the kids, we're going to wear matching pajamas. And it was like, dude, that's scary. You know, like it was basically, what do you want to hear? How can I fool you? I'm just going to say a Hallmark movie. It was like from some sort of cliche greeting card. And that's weird. And I know it's an edited show, but I thought that was a good example of future faking, because narcissists, toxic people, they'll future fake for whatever their agenda is. Maybe they want attention or adoration or money or a place to live or a loan or just even the momentary thrill of just duping you. They will future fake, like first impression future fake, to get you to commit early on and then like exploit you. And the thing is the way this works for you as an empath aura, it's like you buy it because you know they need you to. So they're future faking. They're never going to do it, but them saying it and you believing it is as good as if it happened. And they need that. They need you to believe it, that they could do it, and they need you to fall for it, and they need you to think that they're the type of person that would. They need you to buy into the fantasy, and deep down, you know they do. Also, they are coming at you in ways where they think they know what you want to hear. So you're hanging on to that because you're like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I've needed to hear. This is what I wanted to hear. This is everything, you know. So they're really good at reading you too, but they're reading you for the wrong reason. So they'll read you, kind of figure out what they think somebody like you wants to hear, say all that. And then that's like a bait, you know, like hook, line, sinker, like they got you. So future faking, if especially first impressions, like, oh yeah, I want to get a house, I want to do this, it's like too much at once. And it feels like they're selling you a fairy tale. That's a big problem. All right, when we come back, we're going to go through a couple more empath red flags. You know, taking care of your health, it's not always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last year, over a year really, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's really easy. It's just one scooped, mix in water once a day, every day. It makes me just feel energized and focused. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as a nutritional insurance of sorts. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of the day, and then I don't have to think about it. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2. And 5 free AG1 travel packs with your purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/KYA. That's drinkag1.com/KYA. Check it out. All right. So another empath red flag is they start doing the sob stories like right away, immediately. Here's the deal. And I know this, and I feel like if you're a therapist or something like that, like, you know this too. People with actual trauma don't like talk about it a whole lot. They don't. And especially willy-nilly on a first flipping date or the first time you meet somebody. So if somebody, but the problem with us empath auras is people do tell us everything. So that happens. So it's hard because your whole life, you're probably used to people just unloading on you and you don't know them that well. So you're like, whoa. So this is a tricky one. This is a slippery slope because you are used to people telling you stuff right away, but at the same time, it is a red flag. It kind of depends why they're telling you. My personal red flag is if they make it a point to say, "Oh my God, I feel so comfortable with you. I never tell anybody this. I never talk about this. This is so crazy that I'm telling you. I never talk about this." If they preface it a lot like that, and it also sounds like a story they've rehearsed and they're telling it and it's not choppy and they're well-spoken about it, those are two red flags. Because that means that they were planning on doing the sob story thing. They've done it before and it 100% works for them. So, okay. Next one. Oh, and back to that one with the sob story. Listen, you're an empath, Aura. One, you're used to people unloading on you. Two, you want to rescue people. You're good at healing people. Things don't shock you. You can handle hearing things. Things that might turn somebody else off don't turn you off. And honestly, they're just poking around to see how much you can take. They're trying to get you to think you could rescue them so that they feel like they're in. You know, that's how they get you. Again, all first impression stuff. Another thing, if on the first date or when you first meet somebody, they start asking you super personal questions about your traumas, they scour your life for issues, bad relationships, basically any sort of angle they can get where they know that you're weaker to them. It works because you're like, oh my gosh, they're asking me questions about myself? Whoa, they must care. Wow, they have, and they'll do it. They'll have such empathy. And then they'll pull in other ones like the moral grandstanding thing. Like, oh my God, your dad divorced your mom. I hate divorce. Divorce is the worst. Then they start moral grandstanding again. See that? So that's, they're not asking you because they care. They're asking you because they're like, ooh, where can I hurt you too? They're scouring you. Like, you got daddy issues? Cool. Okay, you're weird about money? Awesome. All right. Like they're trying to get where the weaknesses in your fortress are so they can get in and hurt you in those places too. They're smart. These people are smart. Again, they're the predator. You're the prey. You are really interesting to them, not because they want to help you, because they want to exploit you. All right. But red flag for this, because this isn't just like, hey, where'd you go to school? You know, what do you like to do on the weekends? It's asking super personal questions about your relationship with your parents or how you grew up. And then instead of when they hear something, maybe, oh, okay, taking a step back or moving around it or kind of saving that for later, they're unabashedly diving in like they're your therapist. That's a red flag. All right. Another red flag is they dig at your accomplishments. All right. So let's say you're talking about yourself. It's a first date or maybe first meeting with somebody or something. And you're like, oh yeah, I got my degree in communications. And they're like, good luck finding a job with that. Right there, red flag. We are done. We are done. Like, walk away. And then you can be like, oh, if they notice you don't like that, you're not laughing with them. They're like, oh, I'm just a joke. I'm a jokester. Sorry. Of course, communications is great. Such a great degree. My aunt's a communications major. Yeah, she's so cool. Yeah, keep going. All right. They are very sensitive to your reactions to things. But the point is they need to feel superior and they're seeing if you can take their digs. You know, these toxic people, they look for special people. They themselves inside are so sad and insecure and they feel so unspecial. So they do look for special people. You're special people. All right. You're very special people. And so they want to see if you will submit to their abuse. And they start real small with these tiny little digs masked as jokes. So just notice if when you talk about yourself, if all of a sudden they make kind of like underhanded comments about it, not cool. But it works because as an empath, you can be like, you know that they're like sad inside. This is all so subconscious, but once you're aware of it, you can see it. And you're like, well, I can take a joke or, oh, I don't want to be seen as sensitive or, they didn't mean it that way. Well, part of them might not have meant it that way. that little inside part of them I mentioned, that's like their little inner child locked away, that part might not have meant it, but the other parts did. And actions have to align with intentions. Okay. Another one is, oh, I call this one, what a coincidence. Holy cow. What a freaking coincidence. Okay. Ready for this one? This red flag is funny to me. This is like a nuance that I think a lot of people don't talk about, but they just are faking connections with you. So let's say you're like, oh, talking about yourself again. You're like, yeah, I like to run. Oh, what a coincidence. I run 5Ks all the time. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Or you're like, well, I love art history. Oh, what a coincidence. I spent a semester abroad in Italy. Okay. Like, oh, okay. Or, you know, my family had a business growing up. What a coincidence. My family had a business growing up too. You know, so everything is, I match you and I up one. So it's like, I'll match you plus one. Cause they always have to be a little above you. Their whole thing is they're trying to forge this. This is a double thing. They're trying to forge a connection with you. Like, oh my gosh, we are meant to be. This is crazy how much we have in common. We have so much in common. We just must be like soulmates or something. So they're trying to make this like fake connection. The other thing is they're trying to show you you're not special, and they can be using what you're saying as their own fuel to say, well, I can do that too. Like, I speak Spanish. Oh, I speak Spanish too, and French. I mean, they'll even make it up. But the whole thing is they want to match you and one-up you to feel superior. And also forge a connection that's super eerie. So that's another red flag. I mean, you give them one, if it keeps happening in the first meeting, it's like, okay, that's weird. And along the lines of that, another thing that they can do is try to like force sexual chemistry in a first impression, like just force it in a friend connection. They'll try to force chemistry in a different way. Like, we are besties. Oh my God. Ride or die. Sisters forever. Sisters from another mister. Like, they'll force some sort of chemistry between the two of you. So if it's a first impression, especially like a date, and you notice they're going in for the kiss, and it's real heavy and hard and touching and stuff, and you're like, I did not give off any signals for that. But then they're like, yes, you did. You know, that's a huge red flag. And then if they're making you feel really uncomfortable with the compliments, like they're really talking about your body, or they're really talking about something, you're like, okay, this is weird. Like, the second you feel uncomfortable, they crossed a line. It's not you being a prude, or it's not you being uncomfortable with compliments. Okay. Like, saying, oh, I love your sweater is a lot different than like, oh my God, girl, you know, look at those curves. Like, we just met, sir. You know, so notice that, and notice if they're trying to touch you a lot or get in with you or whatnot. They're trying to create this big thing. They love, like, these toxic people love to pretend you're like soulmates or twin flames or kindred spirits, or this is like a fairy tale from a movie. They actually take a lot of cues from, they'll watch like pop culture movies, and they'll take lines from them. They'll try to replicate stuff that they know you're watching in order to try to get in your head. So they try to move things quicker. So it's harder to leave them. They're getting their energetic claws in you. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about a few more. Did you know that learning language actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen. That is the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel. I am learning French with Babbel right now. It's so easy to learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants without having to consult language apps while on vacation. And Babbel's speech recognition technology helps me improve my pronunciation and accent. I was actually so excited. My little cousin wanted to learn Spanish, and she signed up with Babbel, and she's already on her Spanish language journey. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/aura. Get 50% off at babbel.com/aura, spelled babbel.com/aura. Rules and restrictions may apply. Here are the final few red flags that us empaths can figure out on the first date. This one's hysterical because they claim they're an empath. I thought this one was so good. Like, all right, it's kind of like moral grandstanding, but on the spiritual way. So if they say, oh, I'm very spiritual, I'm very psychic, I'm intuitive, and I'm an empath, you know, I'm an empath. This can happen with religion too, to a point. Like, some people are religious, they're going to pray before their meal or something. That's not such a red flag because that's just who they are. But if they start talking about it, like, again, pontificating about it, merging it with their own identity, like, when's the last time you met somebody for the first time and you were like, I'm an empath? Like, think about things too. Would I do that? Like, would I say that? And don't use, well, maybe they were awkward or maybe they were nervous as an excuse. Because a lot of times these people say things and they have kind of a confidence about it with a feigned insecurity, instead of like actual nervousness or awkwardness or something like that. There's a difference. They're pretending to be awkward or insecure because they want to appear kind of weak so that you can come in and swoop them up and save them. But actually, that's how they get you. They're kind of like a Venus flytrap. So you have to be careful of when they start claiming that they're the empath and they're super spiritual and they're super sensitive and they can feel other people's feelings as their own. That's why they know who's bad and who's good. That's why they're allowed to judge other people, because they're an empath. So they use that as a rationale or a reason to be a jerk. And that's super not what we use it for, as we all know here. So they're poser empath. This next one, I didn't know there was a name for it. Apparently, it's called negging, N-E-G-G-I-N-G. It's basically just backhanded compliments. So again, you might be seeing themes here in the first impression. They want to see how much you can take. They want to see how much of their questioning you'll subject yourself to. They want to see if they're testing their boundaries and their limits with you already to see how far you let them in the first time. So backhanded compliments are a big one. First, you might feel all confused because you're polite. So if they say something like, oh, you look good for your age, you're like, what? Okay, thanks. What the frick? What? But you just smile because you're, you know, we're trained to be just like, oh, thanks. And then the whole thing of it is, if you reacted, you'd look insecure, right? So you don't want, so they're using your own ego against you because they know that you won't argue with them because it's like you looking insecure. So they got away with it, right? Oh, you're really pretty. I mean, you'd be prettier with longer hair, but you're so pretty. Have you ever had longer hair? You know, like that. Or I'm not usually into curves like yours, but yours are beautiful. So if they're doing something and it makes you feel insecure, again, in yourself, that's the red flag. Like, you being insecure is normal if somebody gives you a backhanded compliment. It does, you know, it means they're not nice because, anyways, negging. So you got to be careful of that. Another red flag would be, again, the pattern is getting you out of your comfort zone to see what they can do to you. So if they disregard your comfort or concern for safety in terms of where where you're going to have the date. So like if they're insisting on picking you up and you're like, no, I'd rather meet at the place, and they get weird, you don't even meet them at all. Like, we're done now. We're completely done. Or if it's something where, you know, oh, let's take a walk in the park across from this restaurant and it's dark and you're not comfortable with that. Like, so if somebody, unless they were totally clueless, you know, it's very possible that a toxic person is just trying to get you out of your comfort zone so they can get you off your territory, and then they can, again, gain more control over you. So it's just, it's not really even about what they're saying. It's how they're making you feel. Are you feeling littler than you are? Are you feeling smaller than you are? Are you feeling like your voice is submitting to their wants and needs? Are you feeling unsafe? Is your territory feeling encroached upon? If you were raised a certain way and this is normal for you to feel that, that is where it can really be confusing. Because if you've associated that type of relationship with love, because that's where your caregivers did this to you or whatnot, this is something that can be very confusing. So if something makes you feel too familiar to old relationships, and you have any sort of unease, or you're like, oh my God, this reminds me of how I felt around my dad or something, then it's like, whoa, that's a red flag. So a lot of these things are about your own thoughts and feelings. And that's why another thing is, like, if they get mad if you're not drinking, or they insist on you having another, I'm drinking, why aren't you drinking? If they get really weird about it, again, they're trying to see if they can be pushed into something or you control, but then they'll pretend like you're not fun. So again, the back thing is, oh my gosh, am I not being fun? And you know, the insecurity, I don't want to not be fun, so I better give into it. So these are all first date red flags that I feel like we can all pick up pretty immediately. I mean, there's a lot of them, but those I think are ubiquitous across the toxic people plane. But I'll tell you the final one. And this one, I feel like you don't even have to meet the person and you'll get this red flag right away. You might have heard of breadcrumbing. It's when somebody gives you just a little bit of attention, enough to keep you following their trail of breadcrumbs. These people are professional time wasters, and this usually happens online dating. So these are the people that, like, say, "Hey girl, how have you been?" And then you talk for 15 minutes and then you don't hear from them for like a week. And then you're like, oh yeah, what about him? He seemed great. Like, why aren't we talking? And then he does it again. Okay, so it's like breadcrumbing. And then eventually that might actually turn into a meeting. It's just maybe don't, you know, like maybe just don't. These people are, I feel like there are professional time wasters. It's some sort of function of our 3D society where some people, and maybe I've done this for people before in the past, or maybe some of you have too. You can think of times where you've wasted someone's time. But I really feel like there are people that just assume the societal role of wasting your freaking time spiritually. And those are the people online dating who breadcrumb you. That is one example of professional time wasters. These people just keep you, like, any second of thought you waste on them is a second you've taken away from your own life. If you feel you're being breadcrumbed, like, delete the conversation and block them or something. Just move away, because these, even without the first date, you can save yourself a heck of a lot of time, because if you are someone's priority, they will get on it quicker than the breadcrumber will. They are only probably comfortable with you in a time-wasting position because that's all they can handle in their own life right now. So just a little tip. Hope this helps. Man, I feel like this is going to be an amazing conversation over on the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family Facebook page. I bet you all have amazing empath aura red flags to add to this. And we love your stories too, because you guys have the best stories for us all to learn from. So let me tell you about Caden Lane pajamas. My daughter Abby loves their pajamas. They're soft, they're durable, they're eco-friendly, comfortable. They do not break down at all after you wear them a bunch and bunch of times. Super cute. She's going to be wearing them to Grandma and Grandpa's house because we're going on a little trip to visit them. And this podcast is sponsored by Caden Lane. Caden Lane was started in 2005 by a single mom who wanted to create better and cuter clothes, accessories, and keepsakes for her own kids. And those special moments you remember forever. Kate and Lane is on a mission to make moms' lives easier. That shows up in their Color Me pajamas that help make bedtime fun and enjoyable, or hiding extra zips and snaps and outfits to make it easier for moms to get their little ones dressed. And you see these brands that go viral and you wonder, hey, are they worth the hype? Kate and Lane is absolutely worth the hype. They have over 70,000 five-star reviews and millions of customers for a reason. And if you're already thinking about summer, listen, I am. Kate and Lane's new swim collection is here for worry-free fun in the sun. You keep your little one's sensitive skin safe with their UPF 50 plus sun protection swimwear. It blocks 98% of harmful UVA and UVB rays and minimizes the sunscreen fights we all know and love. And best of all, they also have premium quality matching swimsuits for the entire family. I am telling you, people, I go there for my own swimsuits. I just bought two. They are fabulous. From one woman to another, you want their swimsuits. Trust me, I love this sponsor because the swimsuits alone are enough to make me their customer forever. Try one and you'll see why. Kate and Lane is your one-stop shop for all your newborn, infant, and toddler apparel. Head to KateandLane.com/KYA and use code KYA for 20% off your order. Once again, that's KateandLane.com/KYA for 20% off. And make sure you use my promo code KYA so they know I sent you. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
So I asked the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family, this is what I put on the page. I said, okay, give us your best red flag stories and tips for empaths in a first impression, first date, or first intro. What did someone do, say, make you feel in a microcosm that you now see as a major red flag? And did you guys deliver?
They delivered.
Now, last night before I was going to record this, I went out front with my neighbor, who's my good friend, and we were just reading these and we were like, oh my gosh, like these are gold. And she's just been through a whole thing. So she gave me one. She said, if someone isn't open-minded, like smart people know there's more than one way to do something. So that's a red flag for her.
Okay.
And also if... She gave me this one on a first date with somebody that she now knows is a complete psycho. They were talking about, oh, I'm planning this amazing vacation for my parents' anniversary. This was the first date, and he was going on and on and on about how he was planning it and paying for it. And in her head, she was like, what a wonderful son. Come to find out, they barely talk. He's like the worst son. They hate their kid. He hates them. It's like a whole
mess. And he never did it.
He was a lie.
Right, right.
So we took, you have got to go to this thread. I feel like this thread needs to be made into a book and handed out, yes, to anybody on dates. I feel like that's how good this thread is. So please check it out. But we took our own.
And I know it'll be over by the time you go check it, if you're listening to this, mm-hmm, but please add more because we just
please add more.
Yeah, they're so fun.
This is very educational. All right, what do you have, Scott?
All right, you want me to start it off?
Yeah, you start.
All right, I picked Victoria B, and she writes, on a date, a guy literally used the words, "I am a sociopath." I laughed and told him not to be so hard on himself. Well, turns out he in fact was a major sociopath.
Yeah, he told on himself.
Yeah, I mean. And then Maya H, you know, agreed with her and said, I had to learn the hard way to believe men when they say unhinged things like that about themselves. So, yeah, I guess if a guy on the first date tells you he's a sociopath,
right,
then he probably is a sociopath.
He's probably like, you know, some people are like that. When I do readings, I'll read your ex or whatever, and like they have no guilt because, well, I told you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he's being honest.
He is.
So that's a good quality. That might be a green flag. Well, he's honest. Green flag.
That's the problem with us as empath auras. We're like, oh, well, he was honest.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him another chance. That's our problem.
All right.
I got Stephanie R. writes, I met a lady at my kid's school field day who seemed super nice. We had never met, but for some reason, we're drawn to each other. Conversation started right after being in each other's presence, and we continued to get deeper while we watched our kids. After only an hour or so, she had her arm around me and was agreeing with everything I said. I just talked about that. What a coincidence. We exchanged numbers and decided to get together for a play date. The friendship did not last long, less than a year. I know now that I was definitely love-bombed by her and still not sure why. As an unaware empath, I ate it up. Because this happens come with friendships. This right. happens to me, especially when I first moved down here.
Yes.
This happened to me all the time. I was like, why is everybody my best friend? And then they disappear, or they poof on you, or they flake. I think I was just in a space where I was open to that
right.
for some reason. But yeah, so friendships can okay. do that too.
And that was a love bomb. That
yeah, was it was like a friendship love bomb.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. All right, what do you got?
All right, I have another one. It's kind of similar to the first one I did. This is from Trisha K. All right, so charming guy, great smile, seemed like he really liked me. So I say, tell me about yourself. What kind of person are you? And then he says, oh, I am an a-hole. I just snorted.
Can you imagine that's how you describe yourself? Like, what kind of person yeah. are you? Well, I'm an a-hole.
I'm an a-hole. Can you imagine? Trisha goes on to say, my empathic self suggests he's being too hard on himself. Aww. So that's a second one. That's actually the third one already.
Yeah.
That feels like, you know, he's just putting himself down, self-deprecating.
Right. Right.
Turns out he was what the person said. I really learned to listen because the first thing a guy tells you about himself are always true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, us empath auras, what happens is we're like, oh my gosh, it's my job to fix you.
Right.
You know, like, oh, you're not an a-hole. I don't even know you. You probably are. Why am I trying to tell you you're not? You know, like, so that is a thing that we do. So I guess if somebody acts weak and sad, that right off the bat, because it's kind of weird to act like weak and sad in a first impression.
I can see myself
flag.
Saying, actually, I can see myself saying something about myself that's like kind of self-deprecating, but I don't think I would go like that far.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying I'm an a-hole, but I might, you know, say something like, oh, you know, I don't know. Something. Is that something I would do?
Well, I guess you would. Like, because I don't like small talk.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you will walk away from someone.
No,
so, like, I guess that's true. If we go back to our first meeting,
yeah.
Scott.
Well, I can't
did now I say, that I'm did really I have any thinking about it?
How many red flags? How many did I have? How many red flags did I have?
I'm trying to think.
Date?
Like, our first. You, okay. I read one, like, if somebody's late, they should write them. You were super late. This
okay.
was before cell phones because we're that old. But you were supposed to pick me up at my house.
Right.
And then you come in. This is our first date, okay? You run into my house. You don't even say hi to anybody. And you turn on the TV for me in my own home. I was living at home at the time. I was 18. And you turn on the TV because the Music City Miracle was happening,
that's right.
which is like a football game phenomenon that was happening at the time in real time. And you were late because you had pulled over to listen to it on the radio. And then you ran into my house, turned on the TV, and finished watching the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Watching the wrap up. Yeah. I actually remember that. I pulled into like a fire station.
Yes.
To listen to the.
The Armor Fire Station,
South Towns of Buffalo.
Right.
And, you know, it was like, there was no way the Bills could lose the game.
Right.
But they lost the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
a game like people talk about.
Today.
Yeah. If you live in Buffalo.
Yes.
So I think that's a pass. That's a half red flag.
Obviously,
that's a half flag.
You didn't even say hi. You were just like, you like grunted and then like ran in and turned on the TV.
There was no time for highs because what had happened was insane.
It is a red flag.
It was like maybe the most insane play in NFL history. I don't know. But fine, sure.
That's not too bad.
Red flag. It was
yeah.
red flag. All right.
You did bring me back to your house on the first date that you were living in with four other bachelor boys.
I took you to TJIF Fridays. That's a red flag in itself. That's a red flag.
No, that place, that's fun. We went to your house and it was like, we're living with like a bunch of dudes, but I think
there were so many red
flags. It really depends on what age you're dealing with too. I have to say that. Like, it depends on what age people are at. And where
I'm not going to lie. If you went by the red flag rules, this would not have happened. How about that?
You were a gentleman. Yeah. All right. I got to do Lisa H because, man, she came. She came with a lot of tips.
Okay.
She listed them. One, talk nonstop about his divorce, ex-wife.
Okay.
I felt like I should charge a copay. Then okay. I wanted a second drink, and he said, we get on like a house fire.
Wait, what? She asked for a second drink?
Yeah.
And the man replied,
said, we got on like a house fire. Like, we're getting on like a house fire.
Okay.
Like,
a,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Two, bragged about how much money he made.
Yeah.
Three, asked when the last time I Jumanji'd. Four, okay. ordered for me. Five, wore his gun.
Okay.
Six, eyed the server as she walked away from the table. Seven, ordered with no food restrictions, but when the food came, he made a huge embarrassing fuss that they cooked it in butter, despite never mentioning his disdain for butter. A lot of people mentioned, like, rude to wait staff.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a red flag, yeah.
Told the bartender as we waited for our table that he forgot his cologne. Like, why are you saying that? It just was okay. Weird. Told me it was my treat next time. Like, your treat next time, oh. He said to her. God.
Wow.
Ate dessert with a spoon in a... Ate dessert with a spoon in a manner that they were licking the spoon in all sorts of ways that were disturbing.
Suck it.
Ate ribs, juicy, meaty, covered in sauce, a huge pile of meat on the bone. Like, he got gross food, you know.
I hope there wasn't a second date.
Refused to valet park because they had, quote, too much cash in the car. Self-parked really far away and left me waiting at the entrance. Oh, and their backseat was covered with random receipts in a disorganized pile that looked like garbage. He said it was not garbage. He was taking this crumbled mess to his accountant to do taxes.
Okay. Well, I know that's a lot of red flags.
Wore his gun. That's funny.
I hope there wasn't a second date.
I don't think there was.
I just hope there wasn't. All right. I have one from Olivia S. This one was very interesting.
Okay.
Someone kissed me in the middle of a pizza place, then told me Katy Perry looks like she could take it in anal.
Like, you should have.
And that's exactly what it says. Take it in anal.
I know, but you should. It's a family show.
I know. I don't even know what that means.
Do I have to make this episode explicit now?
It was traumatizing.
I'm traumatized.
Reading this is traumatizing. I led with my humor and laughed a lot, so I guess I made him too comfortable. Nobody should have to hear that.
If anything, good for you being so easy to be around, so somebody would expose their oddness to you immediately. That is not your fault. Nobody should ever be comfortable enough to just say that.
Yeah, I mean,
or
thank God you.
who just randomly thinks of Katy Perry?
I don't know. At
like
least
you
didn't say Lionel Perry or Luke
the
Bryan.
Other one? Can the judges of American Idol? You ever wonder?
Do they take it in the? Okay. Well, Olivia, thank you for that laugh.
You know, us.
That was great.
Olivia.
Thank you.
Thank you. Because I think a lot of us empath auras, we are so used to people telling us literally anything that we have a high tolerance for hearing anything, and we shouldn't. Allison C. writes, he had a tattoo on his forearm. It was a man with his arm extended towards you. His hand was enlarged to showcase the depth perception, and his middle finger was up. Yes, he had an FU tattoo, flipping off anyone who came in his path. I didn't ask about it because there's no story that could possibly justify it. Instead, I tried to make pleasant conversation. Here is how that went. Me, what's your favorite restaurant? Him, I don't go to restaurants. Me, what's your favorite bar? Him, I guess this place by my home. Me, so your favorite due to proximity? Him, silence. He didn't know what the word proximity meant. After 45 minutes, I ended the date very nicely. I had already declined a second beer and food because I did not want to extend our date any longer. I said, it was nice to meet you. And he realized I was rejecting him. His reaction was to throw cash on the table, turn around, and walk out. But of course, what does he do the next day? What do you do? He messaged her.
Yep.
After our date, he said, sorry, that was awkward. I think you're cute, and I would like to see you again. And I said, yes, it was very awkward. And I hope you don't behave that way in the future, but I would not like to see you again.
Good luck. Okay.
And then he unmatched her.
Okay, good.
But
okay,
I love how he tried to come back. And maybe if you're in a different place in your life, you're like, oh, maybe he was just having a bad day. You know?
Yeah.
But the tattoo was good. I like that.
All right. Sharon K. writes, Travis Kelce. That's it. Travis Kelce.
He's got to watch those purple bombs at Travis Kelce.
All right.
He's got to watch it.
You know what? If someone mentioned Travis Kelce on a first date with me, that's a red flag.
No, she's saying Travis Kelce is a red flag. Scott. Oh. She's saying everything Travis Kelce is
a red flag.
Okay.
Yeah. Not knowing that joke is a red flag.
I just randomly take it for what you will, because I read a lot of people who've dated professional athletes. And I get a lot of people saying, don't date a professional athlete. That does seem to be a comment. Now, I'm just saying that's what I hear.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got another one?
Yeah, I'll go again. All right. Okay. So Sophie S. Mm-hmm. All right. She also has the list. Here we go. Here's her list. Number one, if they talk about their ex in a negative light and call her crazy, yeah. I can't help but think, what did you do to her to make her that way?
Yeah. It's a good one.
Number two, if they brag about how much money they make and then don't pay for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to brag about how much money you make, you better be paying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number three, maybe I just really like green men, but it turns me off if a guy can't figure out a set plan for a date and then it gets confusing and messy.
I understand that because it shows kind of lack of, you know, interest.
Okay. Number four, if they stare at other women in public.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Number five, if a man talks poorly about his mom.
Yes. I hear that a lot.
Ooh. Okay. So this.
Yeah.
That could be a red flag for
Michelle. Right at the. It's not when you have, you know, like, you've been dating a while, okay, and it's your boyfriend and your girlfriend, and you guys start talking about, hey, this is how I was growing up, or this is what's going on. That's different. Like, first date, like, my mom's a wench. Like, that's a little much. Okay. Like, I don't need to know that, you know?
All right. Number six, if he has tons of girlfriends.
Oh, like friends that are girls.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess
yeah.
so. Number seven, if he has no gay friends or is averse to being friends with the gays.
Yeah.
Where I live, everyone is gay, so... I wonder where she lives, but okay.
She's like yep. Key West.
I love this one. Number eight, if he talks badly about my spiritual stuff. So if he doesn't agree with MM and aura colors, that is a red flag.
He doesn't have to agree. Just be like, oh, okay. Yeah.
But if he's not willing to leave a review of KYA, red flag.
That's Scott's red flag for you.
Yeah.
CJ B writes, the guy who pretends to be shy and unsure of himself is a pathological, lying, certifiable narcissist. She just wants you to know that.
Just wants you to know that. Okay.
Do you have a last one for us?
I got. Oh yeah. All right. You're out. I got one more. All right. I got Jessica L. In response to Montana B. writes, well, Costa Rica guy on our first date day together, after we played our own version of Jumanji, he was like, my body wants to get your body pregnant.
Ew.
That's disgusting. We played our own version of Jumanji, and then he said, my body wants to get your body pregnant.
That's a little much.
That's a lot.
That's
I
a
later
lot.
Realized he just saw me like a baby factory for him, and he wanted me to raise his children while he went off and had many girlfriends.
Oh, God.
Thankfully, no babies were made.
Yeah.
And I saw the red flags before it was too late. Fast forward to like 4 months ago, I found out he finally found a girl to be his baby maker while he has multiple other girlfriends.
She was right.
So, all right.
All right. You got that right.
You got it right. Jessica got it right.
My body wants to get your body pregnant. What is that?
I mean, who would ever say that to anybody?
Who would say a lot of this stuff to anybody, really?
Yeah. That's.
Well, again, these are just some of the gems. Diamond mine that is this thread.
Yes.
Go check it out. It is gold.
Gold.
Okay. So we have to talk about Love is Blind. Let's do a little overtime.
Yeah, let's call overtime.
Rules of overtime are that you can go now. Maybe you didn't watch Love is Blind. We could be offensive.
Yes. Anything we say now is not... This is a red flag, by the way.
This is a huge red flag.
This is a huge red flag.
That we have to call overtime.
This is a KYA red flag.
This is.
But anything we say is not our fault now.
It's your fault.
It's your fault.
Red
flag.
Kind
of like when Olivia thought that Katy Perry thing was her fault, you know, because she made him too comfortable.
Yeah.
That's the same thing going on.
This is a red flag.
This is a red flag. Total red flag.
Red flag overtime.
Yes. All overtime is red flag, by the way. All right, here we go.
Any overtime you've heard is probably a lot of red flags.
All right, so Love is Blind. Let me just put it out there. The best way to watch this show is with a fast forward button. I fast forwarded most of it. I probably watched a total of 2 episodes total, and I skipped a lot of it. It was real bad, but all right.
Oh, okay. I'm on the couch doing nothing. I'm like just doing my, and you're like, you can put on Love is Blind if you want.
Well, because
this is what I hear.
Because I needed the research for this segment.
Oh, sure.
So to know who you were talking about.
Sure. But you were so into it. You really were. You really got into some of the couples.
All right. Well, let's start with the first couple.
All right.
That I'll just pick randomly here. And I'm just looking at the circle graph that Shelby made for the page. All right. So we have Amy and Johnny.
Okay.
Now, Johnny, I call him. Actually, Abby came up with the name.
Yeah.
If you ever seen Lord of the Rings, there's the Knights of Rohan. They're like these riders. He looks like he'd be like an extra in like one of those saga movies.
Yeah.
Like Lord of the Rings or something like
He's like a Viking Hobbit. Soldier extra.
Yeah. Like with the hair.
Yeah.
So I call him the Knight of Rohan, which is just a Lord of the Rings nod.
Yes. All right, so the green auras are with you.
Yeah. Yes. If you're...
They're like, yes. I concur.
Yes. All right. All right. So the Knight of Rohan and Amy, I don't know much about her, but they seem a little dull.
That's
a lot of my fast forward.
So Amy is purple and blue. Johnny, Knights of Rohan, is yellow indigo. Couple things about Love is Blind. Love is Blind, I noticed with guys versus any other dating show, they get a lot more emotional dudes, people they can talk, things like that. So he's indigo and he's yellow. What I noticed with them is they're very sweet together. They talk all the time and they can't figure out how not to get pregnant, which is really weird. And so I feel like his yellow is the only one steering the ship in this relationship. So, and his yellow is like real anxious. So he's like, I've looked up this. And I realized, by the way, yes, this is a highly edited show and we're only seeing parts of this. And I totally get that.
Right.
But just with them, they seem very sweet together and they talk everything through and they're very conscientious. And it's just all it's like sometimes somebody needs to put their foot down. And I feel like we only have Johnny's like nervous yellow to do that. So it's a lot of, I researched this and I looked into this and I thought about what you said and I thought about what you said. And it seems like they go in circles.
Yeah. And here's my take on it.
Which is cute. And I think they enjoy that with each other.
Yeah. And here's my take on this. This is the red flag for me.
Okay.
The red flag is Johnny or Knights of Rohan, whatever you want to call him. Okay. Any man that is willing, now they just met, right? They talked behind a wall for a couple of weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
Any man that is willing to get a vasectomy.
Oh, this is Scott's own opinion.
And yes, this is my own opinion. This is overtime. Okay. And willing to do that and look into that before other ways of doing things.
There like are very simple, much simpler things.
There's a place called CVS. There's a place called Walgreens.
Okay.
And there's Publix.
Yeah.
And you should just pick this box of things up. Okay. And if you are going to go to that extreme before going to that CVS.
Right.
That's a red flag.
He's yellow, though.
But that's a red flag.
But yellow's, I don't know. Yellow, I get what you're saying. And this is probably my own forgiveness factor. But yellows are they're going to look into everything. They're going to consider everything, look into it, think about it. It's just how they are. And they don't get as creeped out about that stuff as like you would.
Okay. Well, all right.
And Amy's like, she doesn't want to be on birth control, but she's like considering it. You know, it's like a whole thing.
All right.
You know?
Do we think they're
it's the whole thing's very,
it's really weird.
It's like their only thing they could pull out of them, by the way.
Yeah.
And I feel like the producers are like, talk about this again. Talk about this again. Talk about this again. Which is like, it feels pushed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. That's and as I forgot, I didn't see the end. They're still in the show. They're still together. I think so,
yeah.
And the part of the show we're at. I forgot where we left off.
There's two episodes left. There's like the wedding episode, does and doesn't get married, and then the reunion or something like that.
And those have not aired yet at this time.
No.
Okay. All right. The next couple I remember is Brittany and Kenneth.
Yes.
All right. So Kenneth, I don't know I think he probably got a bad edit because every scene that I saw the man on the show, he had his cell phone in his hand.
Yeah.
And he was writing emails on his cell phone, I think.
Yeah.
And then they would just show, I think, who got a bad edit, Brittany, who would constantly be nagging him or saying things about why he's on his phone, like, you know, the hustle. This is the hustle, I guess. Or
something. They were editing
it
a bit.
It seemed very edited.
It did.
Yeah. And it seemed like to me she got a real bad edit. I don't know. I forgot what her color. You told me her colors. I forgot her colors. But she seemed like she got a real bad edit.
Yeah.
And what's your take on that one?
So here's my thing. So Brittany, believe it or not, and this is why I hate reality shows. This is why I don't like reality television. It's because they edit them a certain way. She's actually red and purple. And you just don't see that at all. I'd love to see her in her regular life.
Right.
Because she feels like she's very assured about herself. Like she's confident. She speaks up. You know, she feels really balanced as a person, really powerful. Like red purples can feel independent, all that. But she was really diminished in filming.
Yes.
And Kenneth has a red, blue, purple. He's a tricolor. He's kind of all over the place. So sometimes he was saying one thing, but then it wasn't matching up with his intentions or what she was picking up from him emotionally. So she would say, hey, you said, like, they had a big problem with touching and physical intimacy. So she was like, why don't you want to hug me? And I feel like she knows, like, maybe he's not into me. Like, she knows that. And maybe even vice versa. But he doesn't want to say it, so he's going to use all his red logic.
Right. He was out-logicking
her. Yeah, he's, like, out-lodging her, like, well, you know, and he's using his red logic so he doesn't have to say. And he's also blue. He might not want to say, I'm not into you, or he might not want to say that kind of stuff. And maybe she doesn't either, but they both feel it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like their red didn't always allow the emotional stuff to come through because – you know, sometimes when you lead with red, you don't let your emotions be as important as your quote logic. But she looked really diminished in filming. I feel like that's not her.
Yeah. And I echo it. So the one part I did see was when they were in the sterile home together.
Yes. These staged locations are vibrationally are so off.
Yeah. And he was eating his like takeout and he was on his phone and she was trying to talk to him. And I'm not going to say anything about her appearance, but they didn't dress her up. You know, she looked like she kind of just rolled out of bed, whatever, you know, which is fine. She looked kind of down and the energy was low. So I would have never guessed red, purple. I probably would have said like indigo or blue.
I know.
And a purple there too. But yeah, it seemed like I think she got a real bad edit. That's what I'm going
to
say.
And so because in the pods, she even seemed to me more red purple.
Yeah.
But then when she looks red purple, that's the thing. And what I do is I try to find pictures of them outside of filming so I can kind of see them in their natural selves or whatever. She is red purple. It's just, she's actually a real balanced red. She's a great example of a red purple.
Okay.
When she's not in this scenario, I think this scenario really took her down. Poor Brittany. Yeah. I like Brittany. And Kenneth is getting crap for being on it. He seems like, you know, it's just like you said, it wasn't a match.
It just wasn't a match.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could tell, like, with some of these guys, and this would take us into our next couple, Jimmy and Chelsea, you know, they know they're on camera. First of all, and you know you're on camera. And you don't maybe want to say the wrong thing.
Of course.
You know, you don't want to act a certain way, especially, you know, these red-blue guys.
You don't want to say it to a lady.
Yeah, you don't want to say it to, you don't want to be mean or
rude
whatever.
To a woman.
Yeah, you just kind of want to do it in the red way.
Right.
And with Jimmy, I picked up right away, this guy is clear as day a red blue.
He's very red blue.
I mean, this guy is total red blue.
Yeah.
Every response, you know, again, this is just an edit. It's just the part I saw.
Yeah.
It was like after a night he went to a bachelor party, he came home and then Chelsea, you know, Megan Fox was giving him a lot of crap. And you know, his response was all red blue. Because that's exactly how I would respond too.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, and then when there was another scene where she was, every scene I saw, she was like yelling at him for something like mundane.
Yeah.
Like something small.
Like it would start like, you didn't smile at me this morning. Yeah. And then it turns into, you're cheating on me.
Yeah. It's like, you woke up and your right foot went down before your left foot when you got out of bed.
Why are you best friends with a girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it started with something real small.
Right.
And then it escalated.
Right.
And then one episode, I think he called her
clingy.
Thank you. He called her clingy, and she just lost it on him.
Yeah.
In the edit, of course. And you know, that's what happens to us red blues.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt for Jimmy in that moment, and I never feel for any of these reality people. They signed up for this nonsense, and that's what it is. But you know, I felt for him, you know, because he was trying to explain himself the whole way, and he was doing a great job of explaining himself. And then he uses that one word, clingy. And that's it. It's done.
He needed the emotional thesaurus.
Yeah.
Different vocab word other than clingy.
Right.
Like, it feels like you need attention in a way that's more about you than me. And I feel like you're projecting a little bit of your own insecurities into my actions and reading. You know, but he just used the word clingy, which sums it all up.
Yes.
But it's also, like, jarring for her.
Yeah.
So Chelsea's yellow-purple, but she wears inauthentic blue. So I think what this experiment, they always call it an experiment, this experiment does to people is it's definitely, if you haven't been to enough therapy, like it's all going to come out now. So with her, I bet like on the outside when she's not doing this, she's a together woman, you know, independent, running her own stuff, totally like yellow, organized, purple, intuitive, creative, like all that. But in this situation, it's anything that she hasn't had the chance to heal in herself is like out on the table. She's wearing it on her sleeve. So she's wearing a lot of inauthentic blue during this filming. situation. And I feel really bad for her, like, watching back, because she's like, oh my God. You know, it's like, and I feel like Chelsea's getting so much hate. Like, there's a lot of hate for her because she told him that she looked like Megan Fox. And, you know, a lot of the internet does not agree with that. And so I feel like a lot of us, and this is where it gets vulnerable. I think a lot of us see ourselves in Chelsea, in that it's the stuff that maybe lives in our head, and a lot of us wouldn't ever let out, or we'd hide it, or we're aware of it. But she's like, here it is, like saying it as if it's truth instead of a deep embedded insecurity. Like, you know, when you're first dating somebody and you kind of don't feel great about yourself or whatever, it's normal to be like, oh my God, does he think I'm not pretty? Or, oh, you know, does he think my friend's prettier than me? Like, that kind of stuff is very vulnerable stuff you don't want to think about. And you grow past it, hopefully. But she, you know, so I just feel bad for her. I do. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
And Jimmy, you're right. He feels like he's being a gentleman. But you thought he was also trying to make sure he looked okay on camera.
Yes, right. And these are the classic traits of the red blue.
Okay.
You know, making sure he looks good on the camera at the same time, but also trying to do it genuinely. And then, of course, you have the producers playing their games in this whole thing. And this is where you kind of feel, I even feel bad for Chelsea, because they keep throwing this Jessica over the head.
Oh,
their
my
heads,
God.
Right?
Yes.
So, and that, of course, is like your, I don't know, your traditional, like they called her, what, Kim Kardashian or whatever.
That Jeremy. So when they got back from wherever, the Dominican or whatever, that apparently Jeremy, who's this other guy, showed Jimmy Jess's Instagram.
Right.
And Chelsea knew that he saw that. And then she's like fishing, like, you think she's pretty? You know, it's like, because they know. And then they have obviously these times when they're like, okay, we're filming you today. Ask him about what he thought about Jess's picture. Okay. Like, we're going to film that interaction.
Right. And the producers know this, and they're playing on her. At that time, in Authentic Blue, her insecurities with this Jessica person. There was a lot of red flags with her, too, by the way. So,
because you watched when you watched Jimmy and Jessica in the pods.
Yeah.
And you were like, whoa, you know.
it was intense.
Run away.
Yeah. As a red blue, I wouldn't have been as nice as Jimmy. I would have just walked
out. She'd be talking.
Yeah. Like, what would happen? She'd be talking. And then she'd be like, hello? 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 And I would have laughed.
You should go on Love is Blind just to be the villain. Because I swear they could edit you, because you don't give a crap.
Oh, they could, yeah.
You'd be like, I laughed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just sick of hearing her talk.
Yeah, I couldn't handle it.
Like reading the, oh my God.
Yeah.
That was a lot. Jimmy, but I can see what you're meaning with Jimmy, because as a red, he doesn't like his character being attacked.
No, right. That's when he got most upset. In what we saw.
And he doesn't like the wordiness of things.
Right.
He's pretty brass tacks.
Right.
Whereas we'll see, like, greens can talk a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's the thing with a red. Like, he, and again, it's edited, so it's really hard to do this. I don't know these people.
Of course.
If I knew these people, I could say this better. But,
yeah.
You know, with a red, if let's say he just went out for a drink with his guy friend.
Yeah.
That was one of the arguments. Or girl, maybe it was, no, a girlfriend.
It was
a girlfriend.
His best friends are two girls, and one it came out he had a Jumanji moment with at some point in life.
All right. I mean, it complicates it.
I
think in his mind, like in a red, let's just say he was all on the up and up.
Yeah.
Okay, because we don't know this. I don't know him. But let's say he was all on the up and up. If he was just there for an hour to hang out with his friend, have a beer, and go home.
Yeah.
And someone then questioned that as him being a red.
Yeah.
That would get me upset too.
Oh, you get super
angry. I'd be like, what do you mean? Like, what, I just went for, like, it, and I, maybe that's what he truly
like,
did.
What
that's
are you
how
insinuating
he defended himself. Right.
About my character?
About my character.
Like, you would get real, like, actually, as angry as you got would be proof of your truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you didn't get angry at a red, then you would have known that Jimmy did bad things.
Yeah.
But if you actually, more angry you got about it would prove that he didn't do anything.
Reds in general get actually more mad.
Right.
When you apologize for going after their character.
Right, because that means you brought
that
all that.
Because that means that you did it on purpose.
That you brought that nonsense on us.
Yeah, reds don't lie. They actually stand in their truth so much that when you come after them, they get crazy about it. Yeah.
All right. So did you want to go through Jessica's colors?
So Jessica is purple pink.
Okay.
You know, I think she's had some... If you listen to her in the pod, like, it's so sad. She has such a traumatic past, and she's been through so much, and she has her daughter, and she's had, like, she seems like a really sweet, sweet girl. I do feel like Pink's when they are angry. So she had a whole thing. She sent Jimmy this letter about, you know, when I'm your wife or whatever. And it was probably way longer than we even got to see. And it was very intense. And I feel like that was like her pink bubble. Like, she's like, here it is. We're together. This is our fantasy. This is how we're living. She had it all set in her mind that I'm yours and you're mine. And I have a fairy tale and it's going to be great. And she even said, like, my heart's not mine to give. It's my daughter's to give. And you have to ask my daughter for her permission to be here, be with me. And so she was like, and you know, Jimmy read this and he probably just was like, I'm scared, you know, but like, she was in it 100% as a pink, like, but then when you do something like reject them and you pop their joy bubble, and then, you know, also it depends on every individual person. That's when she was like, you're gonna need an EpiPen. Like, it was great.
Right.
But then they bring her out, you know, and even like, oh my God, that lake house party. And this has nothing to do with auras. This is just my beef on the film crew. Like, all I was showing you, like, oh my gosh, like, they get, anytime she adjusts the top of her bikini.
Yeah, they showed that.
Anytime she bends down.
Right.
They're getting like the angles of how cute she is and stuff.
And then they're trying to get like Megan Fox and like a picture where she's chomping on food.
They always got poor Chelsea.
It's not nice.
Bad angles on Chelsea.
Yeah, not nice.
Yeah.
Not nice.
It's not.
All right. And then they bring in this like beefcake guy. I've never seen Trevor. I've never seen him before. This guy just shows up. He's like all beefy.
Yeah.
He just came from the gym.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, squatted 700 pounds. And his name is Trevor. I must have fast forwarded those parts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then they show Chelsea, obviously, you know, looking at him.
Right.
That's the one she didn't pick.
Yes.
And the first thing I said is, like, not knowing anything about this Trevor meathead guy, I'm like, they look like a match.
Trevor's her typical type.
Yeah, they look like a match right away. Energetically, they look like a match.
They did. Yeah, so I think they would have worked out
better, maybe?
I don't know, because Trevor's, you know, he's indigo red, Trevor. And with him, he's, like, real wordy and emotional and like, you know, again with the talking, because he's indigo and analytical and deep and he can go there. He's red too, so he's a bit intense. And then you're also dealing with somebody who I think he's comfortable with his emotional side, but I also feel like his red, and again, it's not the color's fault, it's his ego's intention fault. I feel like he's learned how to wield his emotional empath self to get the ladies. So I do feel like he knows how to use his sensitivity as a pickup tool a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I feel, so when he was talking to Chelsea, and he's like, oh, you're like, he's also doing kind of like, I am charming and I say all the right things on camera. Like, it was very rehearsed and practiced to me. But whatever, you know.
I'm also a psychopath.
yeah, like maybe he said it.
I am an a-hole.
I don't know. He's got the mullet. He's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's thinking, I don't follow too much online about him, but I think like people are saying bad things about him, that he was leading people. He feels like a lover boy. I'll tell that about it. I feel like he can't be alone. I feel like this is the type of guy who always has girls fawning over him in some little way. He's got teddy bear qualities. He's always got a backup to a backup to a backup. And in his head, he might be keeping them straight and on the up and up, but I can see lines getting blurred by the girls that are around him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, next couple. I might have missed a few of these couples. There were so many, I can't remember. But,
yeah.
All right. The next one was this guy named Jeremy.
Oh, yes.
And Laura. Yes. Now, him, right off the bat, I saw him in a pod. And he looked like he was so full of crap. This guy straight off the bat, you know, like, you know, maybe Trevor could fool you. I don't know. Maybe who's the other guy again? Kenneth or whatever.
Right.
But this guy, no, he seemed like such a jerk right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, just even the way he was like walking around the pod. And then he was with who? Laura? I can't remember.
Laura.
Or someone else too. But there was one.
Sarah Ann.
Sarah, okay, there was one person, it was either Sarah or Laura, I do not remember.
Yeah.
Where he was going through, like, a whole thing about, like, what...
That was Laura.
Oh, that was Laura, okay. What the holiday would look like.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I talked about
this. We're going to do this, and then we're going to put on PJs, and then we're going to make, you know, chocolate chip cookies and put little sprinkles on them. And then after that, we're going to go out caroling, and we're going to give, like, fruitcakes to all our neighbors.
Yeah.
And we're going to wear fuzzy socks and cuddle by a perfectly made fire. Okay, this guy's full of crap. Total full of crap. This guy is not doing any of that.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Okay. That's my take on
well,
this
he's
guy.
Green Blue.
Okay, yeah.
But he's, and it's crap's coming out.
Oh, is he he's a chameleon.
He's not. No? He's himself. He's okay. Green Blue. I don't want to diagnose people on here. Right, I think he's got like a lot of narcissistic qualities.
Okay.
Because he definitely, so they're saying now, I don't know if this is true or not, allegedly, he applied for the show when he was engaged.
Okay, I can see that.
And his fiance has a daughter, young daughter, and I think they had a house together and stuff.
Yeah, That was real weird.
The house?
Yeah, his house was real weird. That was not his house.
Even Laura picked it up. She's like, this place looks staged.
Yeah.
Because I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, because that's creepy. But Jeremy, to me, just needs people to think who he is upon his first couple meetings. Like, so he likes the illusion of him.
Yeah.
When it starts to get into the reality of him, then it crumbles and he can't handle that. Long-term commitment with somebody. So he probably just likes to love bomb people and have them in his energy. Sometimes people don't like the full spectrum of a relationship. There are some people that only like the beginning of a relationship. There are some people that you meet and already they're like taking their socks off in front of you and like farting. And it's like, have we been married 10 years or is this our fourth date? You know, like that.
Right.
So some people like that part of the relationship. They don't romance it. So it depends on, some people only like one part of a relationship. So he's more like that love part. Like when we don't know each other quite yet. Okay. But Laura's tough too. I mean.
Yeah, she was tough too.
She's a little critical. I wish she would learn why she's critical and then that would help her find her own red flags.
Right. Because she had a lot of red flags too. She probably needs to know that she's yellow. Maybe
she definitely needs to understand that she's yellow and other people don't think like her.
And I'm going to put a call out for this one. If anyone knows her, anyone listening wants to reach out to, what's her name, Laura?
Yeah.
Tell her she's yellow. And that might really kind of calm things down because the one scene I saw, again, I've only seen a couple scenes, she was, which is actually, this was actually kind of funny because it actually shows the yellow purple here, what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So she was yelling at him for like, you know, making sure like he brushed his teeth a certain way so that like the toothpaste doesn't get all over the sink.
Yeah.
Or if he's shaving, she didn't want the shavings going in the sink.
Yeah.
Like, so she was telling him all these things and, you know, he was... Jeremy just nodding like, yeah, it's okay. And the actually funny where it shows the purple was she was actually sitting on the kitchen counter, which is like a purple thing to do because no yellow I know is going to be sitting on the counter where you make the
food. Like where you make food, now your butt's there.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's the yellow purple juxtaposition
that's
right
really
there.
Funny.
Yeah. So I picked that up. But so she needs to, I think, know that I think she needs to know that she's a little over the top yellow.
I really like Laura. I have to say she is a tough nut, but I feel like she means well. And I wish she'd learned that, for example, she hated his Hawaiian shirts.
Okay.
Like they really, really bothered her. And they made her constantly look like she was nagging on him for his personal style.
Well, yeah.
And that's true. But I feel like what's really happening with her is her purple that she's ignoring. Why do these shirts bother me other than the aesthetic of them? And it's because you are fake and you're wearing a costume. And it's more of like a symbolic metaphor that she's picking up. And her yellow is the only thing explaining it. Like, well, they're ugly. And it's like, no. They don't bother you because they're ugly. They bother you because he's hiding who he is.
Right.
And it's like so his style is not in line with his intention.
So you're saying she's picking that up.
She's picking it up, but she can't understanding it.
Right.
That there's more to it. Like when something irks you, I would tell Laura, like, hey, when something bothers you, don't just let it go on its aesthetic. Like you leave your shavings in the sink. That's not, yes, that's gross, but it's also, are you feeling somebody being disrespectful to you? Why does that feel disrespectful to you? Where, like, what's the underneath thing? Because that's the purple, because you're picking up somebody's character qualities through their actions and you're not explaining it correctly to yourself.
Okay.
You know, so you just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. That makes total sense. But, all right, so I think.
But he went off with Sarah Ann.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get to that one.
Yeah, so.
I must have skipped that part.
At that lake house picnic. You stopped watching.
Okay, so they.
They went off together.
So he goes off, and while
they broke
Laura
up
was there?
Yeah, they broke up.
Okay, they broke up. Okay.
And then.
And that's part, you're allowed to do that on the show?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's like a free country.
So is he now in another dystopian home with Sarah Ann?
I don't think they continued filming with those two, but we'll find out probably at the reunion what's going on with him and Sarah Ann.
Okay.
I'm assuming knowing him, they'd probably stay together just to say screw you for the reunion because it's a lot of fun attention and then break up after.
And what colors is Sarah
Ann? Oh, she's purple blue.
She's purple blue.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we might have missed a couple of these couples.
Clay and
what
AG.
Color, yeah, what color is Clay?
Clay is red and purple. Okay. AG's yellow purple. AG's so smart. Like, she's such a smart girl. I felt so bad for her because she's had to learn how to navigate with her yellow. Everyone's like, inappropriate. Her whole life probably has just been inappropriate comments about her body to her. And then, like, the whole show was like they produced it and edited it to like make that kind of a theme for her. I felt bad for her. But she's yellow purple, so she's very smart and together, and she's independent. But this Clay, okay, I feel like he's red purple, but he must be this entrepreneur, right? And he's always talking about, I gotta work, you know, and his mom's like, he's my son, he's an entrepreneur, he's amazing, you know. So I feel like, and he's got like this thing that, okay, this really creeped me out. And I don't know if any of you else caught this, but he was, when he hugged her and stuff, when he first met her, he was like, oh, I feel like a baby in your arms, or hold me like a baby. Like, he said that a couple times about being a baby in AD's arms. And then that was like weird to me. That was like my own little weird red flag that he wanted to be treated like a baby. And then when his mom came on, the mom obviously like he hung the moon, Clay did, which is fine. And that's awesome that you think about your son that way. But also it's like, okay. And then he can't really define what he does for a living. He's like, work hard, and I don't know what he does. Something, maybe he does something great. I'm not saying he doesn't. I just got this feeling that he needs to be worshipped by women.
Okay.
And he can't handle personal responsibility from women. He can only handle being like worshipped by them.
That did make sense because he was talking, the parts I saw, about all his ex-girlfriends a lot.
Okay.
He was talking about
how many
girls he had and whatever. Yes. And his buddy was like there for his first girl.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to say.
My last girl.
That's a weird thing to say. Yeah, like you don't.
I mean, that could be like a locker room type thing, but I don't know if you say that.
Yes.
In the public eye.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a little odd. So anyway, I don't know what he likes.
Yeah.
In life, but
who knows?
All right.
If I had to wrap, all right, so let's wrap this up. This overtime has been really long overtime.
Yes.
I'm going to say the person with the least red flags.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So I'm going to pick mine. You pick yours.
Okay. Ooh.
All right. And then we'll close it out.
Least red flags. Oh,
all right.
Like
I'm going to say the least red flags is Kenneth.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just picking somebody. Who do you think?
Really?
Yeah, you know.
I'd have to pick a woman. I can't. All these men are just
total red flag.
I can't handle it.
Yeah.
Least red. I'd pick Laura.
Laura
or AD. One of those two.
Oh, AD. Okay.
I told you I'd marry, if I ever go around this again in reincarnation,
right,
I am marrying a yellow or a woman.
All right.
This is so you all know.
I'm changing my two. But I'm going to also marry AD. So the two of us will marry AD.
Okay.
Whatever that stands for.
I think her name's Amber, too. Like Amber Desire.
Oh, okay.
But they, yeah.
Okay.
All right. This podcast is for you and about you. And we're so glad you spent some time with us today.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.